Hello, and welcome to episode 12 of the Book Wars Pod. This week we are continuing our discussion of Thrawn by bestselling author Timothy Zahn, and we're discussing chapters 15 through 22. But before we do that, what are we all drinking today, guys?
What are you drinking, Chris?
Oh, I have to go first? I am drinking Glenmorangie La Santa single malt scotch.
Okay.
Because it's been a week.
Same. I was going to say, it's the same thing he drank last week, and this week sucked. I'm allowed to drink this
I actually drank Lafroig last week.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. My bad.
Somebody's fancy. Keeks is allowed to drink, though.
I am drinking. So every summer, here, this is Beer Talk Pod again. Every summer, Fort George, which is a brewery in Astoria, Oregon, they do a collab for like a hazy IPA, and they call it Three White IPA. And this summer, the collab is with Fort George, and oh, it's always with Fort George, and I can't find. Here we go. It says, this limited edition seasonal is a collaboration between Rubens Brews, Great Notion Brewing, and Fort George. Brewed with Azaka hops from Roy Farms. So it's usually Fort George and then two other people. So Great Notion is wonderful, and I don't know who the other people are. I think they're very small, and I bet they're probably near Astoria. But it's delicious. It's delicious every year, but it's very different every year, and that's part of why it's so exciting and fun. And they always do, and they always have like a local artist do the art on the cans, and it's always like a picture of all three of the brewers, and it's always like silly. So if I remember to tweet out a picture of the can, I will do that.
It's so dumb that there's an Astoria, Oregon.
Why?
Like, because why can't we come up with like more than three names to name things throughout the country? Like, why do we need to reuse names every time?
Can you fucking relax?
Because
do you know that all of our names in our country were literally just stolen from Britain? When the white people decided they were going to be named something other than what they were named.
Wait, I don't understand what just happened.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Just said that you and she both have Ellis Island names.
I mean, yes, I'm well aware of that.
Oh my god, it's Hamlet! Hi, buddy!
Oh, hi, Hamlet. Oh, I'm also with my droids that my co-hosts so lovingly bought me, but we're also recording late in their time because I fell asleep after work and took a 3-hour depression nap. So I have them and Sabine just fucking glaring at me.
That sounds about right.
Make you guys
that sounds
happy.
About right.
Yeah, they're really mad.
It's fine though because I'm just drinking water today like a loser, a well-hydrated loser. Right. I'm being very wholesome this week because I just started new meds and the doctor told me to not do that. Or rather, to not drink alcohol, not to do
the meds.
That's because she definitely told me to do the meds.
That's because the meds that you're on, if you start drinking when you're ramping up, they'll make you crazy. I agree with that, because anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
this has been meds
say,
talking
are we gonna actually
talk
podcast at
depression
some point?
Wait, but I want to tell people we got a microphone finally, so that my screaming can be evened out nicely and shit. Our pop filter's not here yet, so by the time this thing is released, there's going to be a really cool picture on Twitter of our microphone covered by a sock, because it wants to stick you up at the grocery store.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
That's right. One sock right over
here. All right, anyway,
into the action. Yes, don't worry, guys. Our resident sound tech, a.k.a. me, will be... we'll be workshopping with Kate and Chris once they get the headphone splitter, et cetera, so that we can get a good
noises. Lacking a few key supplies. But anyway, because Chris is impatient, he hates it when Chris and I banter.
I hate fun. We know this.
Yeah, well, thanks, Dad. All right, are we diving in?
I think so.
Well, the first point is mine, so I guess I'll keep talking. I'm sorry, my hamster's really distracting. He's, like, trying to groom himself. It's really fucking cute. He looks, like, especially fat today, and it's really happy.
Okay, I can attest to that. She sent me several pictures today. He looks just like a perfect fat baby.
Okay, anyway. So the thing I wanted to start off with is, I think we're, getting into a, at this point in a pretty good rhythm with, how the book is going, you know, in terms of, like, the pacing and the action and the switches and points of view and everything. But, I just wanted to touch on, in terms of the plot itself, something that's really interesting to me is that we're really getting kind of the day-to-day drudgery of what it's like to be an Imperial officer, especially when we're looking at things through Eli's eyes, and it's just really interesting to me that just to compare that kind of just like everyday look in at, you know, what life is like on the job with, you know, obviously we know the Empire to be this ultimate evil in the universe, and it's very bad, and they're always plotting and stuff, but also sometimes Eli's just really fucking bored on his ship, and it's funny.
Yeah, and they're, like, not even at war, right?
No, not.
So, I mean, that's definitely part of it. Right. So, it's just, like, what nonsense, either nonsensical thing or, like, totally legitimate thing are we going to run into today? Who knows?
At the same time.
Yeah, it's, like, this book, and it's, like, kind of episodicness with Thrawn, because, like, intentionally, because it's, like, showing us his entire rise to power, but, like, it's almost, like, very Star Trekian. Like, it's every chapter is a new episode, and, like, Stardate 5622 fucking orbiting over Bodejeff. Like, it's, like, it feels very serial in a way that the previous books haven't, because they feel much more connected, and I feel like that kind of lends to the day-to-day feeling of what's happening, because it doesn't all feel like a connected story. It feels like, all right, today's Thursday. Did my laundry while we're in hyperspace.
Totally. That was weird. Totally.
Yeah, and I think it's really actually very interesting, because while we have been getting points of view from quote unquote the good guys, right? It's like they know that there's this information that they're trying to find out, and like we're following, you know, all of their quote unquote plans while they're like trying to find out all of this information and like how things work out and how things don't work out. And then we have Thrawn, where it's like his plans are almost always exactly correct, and like he also is looking for information, right? But he's kind of at a point where he is waiting for things to happen so that he has more information.
Yeah.
But he's like gathering as much information as he can. So I just think it's interesting that like it's not actually so different on paper. It's like he has his intended, you know, his basically, like, mini-goals. Like, he wants to figure out who... What's the guy?
Night Swan.
Italicized name?
What's
sorry.
Night Swan.
Night Swan. He wants to figure out who Night Swan is and what everybody's doing with all the Dunium. You know, and that's, like, not totally dissimilar to like, some rebel activities where they'd be like, oh, we need to figure out X. We need to figure out Y. But it's definitely, like, the way that this is written, and I think probably... the way that Zahn wants us to think that life within the Empire is very, like, different, right? It's very, like, mundane sort of day-to-day because they have all this power, and they're not always worried about just, like, getting blown out of the sky.
That's a really good point.
I don't know. I just thought it was, like, an interesting, like, parallel where it's, like, we're so different, but we're not that different,
right?
You know,
that's a great point.
I mean, they built trash compactors on the Death Star for reasons, because they have trash.
So
true. They're people just like us.
So true.
Hopes and dreams.
And trash monsters.
Right.
Classic trash monsters.
When am I gonna get my trash monster? There are just so many Pop Funkos that I want.
Wait, is there a trash monster one?
I don't think so.
If there isn't one, can they
absolutely
do that?
Not. That's what I mean. I want Spider-Mole and I want the Trash Monster, and I'm not going to get any of those.
Oh, I think you will. They've already
got Spider-Mole? You think I'm going to get Spider-Mole?
I mean, they already have fucking Naked Mole, so...
I mean, they also have the freaking R2 unit with the bad motivator.
My bae.
yep.
Like, literally has less screen time than the Trash Monster.
Damn.
That's accurate.
Wow.
I know, but he's beloved.
Yeah, he is.
or its beloved.
Chaucer's beloved.
I shouldn't.
Keeks, did I tell you one of the stories in From a Certain Point of View is literally from the Trash Monster's point of view?
Oh,
it's called The Baptist.
Fucking God. That's amazing.
So excited. And a lady of color wrote it, and everything is great.
God damn it, Star Wars. Stop being cute.
That's
stop
so
being
good.
Perfect.
So happy.
So good.
Love it. Thanks for being less of a piece of shit white dudes only club lately. We appreciate it.
I have so many feelings on the new Star Trek series, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay, we're not. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not. We're not talking about Star
Trek. This is
not
a Star Trek. This is not Star Trek.
Shut the fuck up.
Anyway, to get back to Eli and like the day-to-day slog of being an Imperial, like it's interesting because like this isn't the first book to tackle that that view. Like there are some other books that are from the Imperial point of view. There's Tarkin. There's Lost Stars by Claudia Gray. Sorry, Tarkin by James Luceno. I feel like there's probably others, but like it is an interesting point of view, especially when you look at some previous Rebels episodes when. Obviously, or rather, previous Star Wars media in general, obviously, it's very heavily weighted toward the Rebellion or, you know, whoever they are, the Republic, just, like, whatever time period you're in. It's weighted toward the good guys, right? And so, like, you do get this kind of new view of the Empire that you haven't had before. And, like, one of the Rebels episodes from Season 3, I think it was called Through Imperial Eyes, and it was from Agent Callus's point of view.
Yes.
Like, kind of is really reminding me of this when you, like, there's kind of in-jokes where it's, like, they show a toilet on a Star Destroyer for the first time, and they never do that. But it's, like, also funny because you do have this kind of stereotype of these people are almost robots, and, like, they're not. They're actual, like, they're not even clones anymore. They're actual people, and they choose to serve the Empire for the most part. And so it's just always something to remember that, like, Thrawn chose to serve the Empire. Eli is choosing to serve the Empire. And through our point of view in this book, they're the good guys.
Right. Yep.
Well, yeah. Well, and I mean, it's interesting because this brings up, now that we have so much Eli talk, and I think this actually puts us into the next point. I don't want to skip the B point on the outline, but I did want to talk about Eli a little bit. It's interesting because, yes, Eli is choosing to work for the, quote-unquote, work for the Empire, however you want to, you know, be aligned with the Empire. But I think he really sees that as his ticket out of wild space, right? It's like he's just trying to make something of himself. It's not like these kids are like given a choice. You can go be with the Rebellion, or you can go be
Rebellion.
Are you gonna be a good guy or a bad guy?
I mean, the Rebellion doesn't even exist at this point. And also, I mean, if you think about it, the Empire has to be one of the biggest employers in the entire galaxy.
I mean, the biggest.
Yeah,
well, it is the biggest, right?
Right, so, out here.
But I mean, Yeah. Well, I've just kind of been thinking about that a lot, and it's like, I don't know, if I was in Eli's shoes, I'd probably do exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Like,
what other options are there, really?
Yeah, I'm like, I would like to do something. I don't want to, like, be a farmer, whatever his family
is. I think of a very important Star Wars character who was in Eli's shoes and wanted to do the same thing, and that's Luke. Like, Eli is basically the wild space version of, like, whiny Luke wanting to go to Tosh Station to pick up some power converters.
Right, I mean, basically, the only true difference in what their origins are is that Luke wanted to go to the academy, and his uncle and his aunt wouldn't let him, and Eli's parents encouraged him to do that.
Yeah, that's literally the only difference.
So that's heavy.
Yeah, I mean, we do get this
weird
though of, like, if Luke wasn't, you know, whether he's the Chosen One or the son of the Chosen One, if he wasn't ordained by the Force to be this galaxy-changing figure, like, we kind of get a view of what he could have been. Like, he could have just been a really fucking good TIE fighter pilot, and he could have been on Thrawn's Star Destroyer. Like, he could have been assigned to the Chimera. Yeah. You'll never know.
Easily.
It's an interesting alternate history experiment. Hashtag no Confederate.
I was about to say, can I get that instead of fucking Confederate? Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Yeah, that sounds more interesting.
It actually does.
Because then we also get like the wrinkle about like Luke finding out that Darth Vader is his father and whether or not he agrees with that and like his inherent conscience and all this stuff. I am just like so thankful that we have Poe, because every time we talk about TIE fighters now, I can't not imagine him saying, "I've always wanted to fly one of these things," and like how excited and happy he is. And it's like now I just have like such a nice memory of TIE fighter stuff instead of just like, you know, Vader daddy just like, trying to kill everybody all the time.
No, what you have, just, like, what you just said is so you have happy. I have a thought of Poe being a Muppet, judging by your impression of Poe, so thanks for that.
Poe is a Muppet. He's the best Muppet.
The wider Star Wars universe that we get from these books, though, is that we do kind of get a view of stormtroopers and TIE fighters as, like, real things that are built with real materials and, like, cost money. I know Kate's laughing at me. Stormtroopers are not built.
Are
yes,
built.
Thank you, Kate.
Real things.
But, because, like, you have the view of, like, the stormtroopers behind the mask, and, like, we haven't gotten too much of it in this book, but in other books there's definitely a lot about, like, TIE fighters are really fucking fast, and, like, basically they're better than X-Wings, except the X-Wing pilots are better, and X-Wings are shielded. And it's so, like, you have this interesting view of, like, the actual, like, weapons and tactics and what actually wins these battles for the Rebellion versus the Empire. And, like, I don't know, I find that shit fascinating. And Eli would, too, because he's a fucking supply officer at heart.
It's true. This is why...
Why aren't TIE fighters shielded?
Because I think the Empire's cheap.
I was about to say, aren't they just too small?
Okay. It's because the Empire is... too cheap to develop technology for such small ships.
Sure. Okay. Oh, wait. Okay.
They also have, like, no life support.
Wait, wasn't there a TIE fighter on Rebels that they were building that had shields and
there
they
was.
Were worried about it? I don't remember what happened
it was
to
the
it.
The TIE Defender.
That's right. The TIE Defender.
Which is out of the extended universe.
Mm. I need to watch season 3.
One of the things that we'll find out when we read Lost Stars and probably a little more in the newer timeline... like the Force Awakens Last Jedi timeline, First Order TIE fighters are, I believe, shielded. Like, First Order TIE fighters are much better than Imperial TIE fighters.
I mean, the technology has to advance in some way, right? So it only makes sense.
I mean, when you're hiding in the unknown regions for 30 years.
Do-to-do.
This is true. Okay, cool. Thank you for letting me go off.
No, it was good. We like it.
It's a Star Wars related tangent. We're back on track.
So what are the kind of the fun character development-y kind of things that we're getting into now that we're at, you know, almost done with the book is just watching tracking the progression of Eli's career and at the same time his character arc. They're kind of like related in that sense. You know, obviously in the section, Baby finally gets his much longed for promotion, and not for, you know, like no reason. He's actually become pretty capable, you know, learning from Thrawn, being able to track patterns, which he's already pretty good at, being a guy who is good with numbers and data. But now he's no one's Thrawn and no one's as ridiculous as Thrawn, but Eli's up there. And it's respectful.
He's a baby after my own heart. He's very
nerdy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting all this. I'm like, this is kind of what I do for my job, except for it's not in space and it's not with military shit and nothing I do matters. But mostly just it's not in space.
Right.
Mostly that. Sorry.
Just shoot Kristen up in a rocket, and everything will be the same.
Exactly the same.
That's right.
I don't know. One thing I've kind of found an interesting dichotomy is, like, you have Thrawn, who's obviously, like, coming in as being a genius and being a military tactician and, like, being this hotshot dude as soon as he gets there. It's interesting because you look at his conversation with Price when they're on Coruscant, and Price is, like, Eli hasn't been promoted because Moff Gotti doesn't want him to be. And Thrawn's like, politics shouldn't have any bearing on military promotions. And, like, you've been in the military for, like, 5 years at this point. You should know this shit. Like, Eli is he very doesn't. Every promise.
He like doesn't understand unfairness.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's physically
it's very interesting
so far of understanding politics.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Politics is a wiggly line equals to unfairness as far as the Empire is concerned.
Oh my God. But yeah, I mean, he has Eli trying to navigate that political landscape for him, and he's still like just in utter like Eli's probably the person he trusts most at this point. He's just still in utter disbelief that anyone could just deny Eli a bunch of promotions because they can't stick it to Thrawn, so they have to stick it to Eli instead. Like he just cannot understand.
I think it was in this section where Eli was like, shit, I'm not the person to be telling him this, but
right.
Let me tell him that things are fucked up.
Yeah.
Let me tell him that things are fucked up, and let me just a little bit allude to the fact that you're fucking things up for me, so thanks a lot, dude.
Yeah, but Eli never made Lieutenant Commander as a supply officer.
That's true.
That's true.
Like, probably just never in his career. He probably would have been a lieutenant for the rest of his life.
Sure. Like,
Lieutenant Commander is a pretty high rank, right? I know Kate did some, like, actual Wikipedia.
Yeah, I actually...
Naval officer rank.
I literally did, because I was just trying to figure out how... I was just kind of tracking... Obviously, Star Wars has some differences toward the higher end of the rankings. You know, there's no Grand Admiral in the Navy or anything like that.
Give Trump a year.
Oh my God.
That's right.
Fuck right off. but I was just kind of really tracking. Lieutenant Commander would be 3, I think, ranks above Ensign. So he just jumped 3 in one fucking go.
Also Ensign.
Okay.
Sorry?
Ensign.
Thank you.
Oh, I say Ensign also. That's wrong.
Was your dad in the name?
Great. Yeah. He was in charge of the back of the boat. I don't know. I've seen pictures of him looking real cute with his like vest. like a safety vest on.
Oh my God.
Just like what kicking it. Thanks for your service, Dad. I know you don't know how to listen to this. Cause you asked me and I said no, but it's fine. We're off track again, but
you only jumped up 3 ranks, like A, he long deserved a promotion to lieutenant, and maybe even another one, but Lieutenant Commander is high for him under any circumstances.
But, like, listen, I'm going to put it this way. At the point of Season 3 of Rebels, Ezra Bridger's a Lieutenant Commander. What the fuck is that business?
Ezra's an idiot.
He's 17!
I hate Ezra.
Dumbass.
And this shows you why the rebellion was fucked until Luke came along.
Oh my God! It's
fucking fair. They're like, you haven't accidentally blown anything up lately. You can be a lieutenant commander.
That's great. You know what? You haven't blinded anyone else on your crew yet, so.
Oh my fucking God! Don't even talk about it.
Oh my God! Any fucking.
Wow. Okay, that was really a lot. What you just did there. That's fine.
Dogs around the Portland metropolitan area that just perked their ears up.
I know.
Hamlet actually. No, it's fine. Anyway.
That's the best. Let's talk about slavery.
All right. Even more fun topics with the Book Wars Pod. The way I was going to tie this in is that Eli, obviously, through his eyes, we get a view of mundane everyday life. But even he, I love this line in this section, or maybe it was the last one even, where he, like, and he might say this more than once, but he was just like, another week on Thrawn's ship, another crisis. And it's just like, these fucking emergency situations have become so routine for him that it's just like, they just like don't even register on his, oh, this is a problem radar. Until...
Because most of the shit that he has to deal with, before we get into hashtag slave talk, god fuck.
Nope.
before he has anything like this, I mean, like, Thrawn is basically, like, everything that the Navy seems to give him is, like, an annoyance. Like, he's a goddamn fly swatter.
I know,
he, like,
right?
does 15 minutes of research. And then he's like, this is what we gonna do. And everybody's like, that doesn't make any sense. And he's like, okay, but watch. And then it's the end.
Right?
He fixed it.
I know. Like, it's amazing. He'll solve an entire, like, I'll be reading about these things and be like, oh no, how are they gonna get out of this one? And like, the chapter ends, it's like, oh, we're good. And I'm like, what?
episodic.
Truly.
Super episodic.
But yeah, Eli is kind of like, I mean, he, you know, I think we were talking about this last time, but he's gotten to being actively enjoying his job, especially after he gets his promotion. He enjoys working with Thrawn. He feels like he's learning things, you know, like all the good things that you want in a job to feel fulfilled, you know, likes his boss, etc. And then the fucking Wookiee incident happens, and he realizes that the Empire is not only allowing the slave trade to continue, they are actively using slaves, putting money into the slave trade, doing all the bad things. And
twisty.
Right.
it really reminds me, there's like a webcomic, and I don't remember it well enough, so I'm going to butcher it, but it's basically two Nazi, like, foot soldiers talking to each other, like, very cartoony, but two Nazis talking to each other. And one of them just turns to the other one and is like, hey, so, like, you know how, like, our boss has, like, this crazy mustache and is kind of nuts, and, like, you and like the other people are like super nice. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe we're the bad guys?
Oh my god.
It's like, and it just reminds me of that. It's like Eli's having that moment of like, huh, but
Right. Like, Eli's not necessarily a dummy, right? Like, he knows that, like, no institution is completely good. You know, he knows about, because institutions are run by people, and that's why he's always on and on about the petty politics of it. But when you, like, come, like, up front against, I'm involved in this, and this is the depth of the evil they're perpetrating, it's just like, what the fuck is this, you know?
Are the Wookiees building the Death Star?
Yes.
I mean, okay.
I think so.
I mean, we don't know that yet, but
well,
that's the assumption, right?
I think so, because Thrawn, when he's kind of trying to triangulate where all the Dune is going to.
Right. The very end of the last chapter we read.
Right.
Chapter 22.
It's the same place they're taking the Wookiees to, right?
Right. And Eli's just sitting there like, Daddy, you're so smart.
If you say Daddy on this fucking episode one more fucking time,
I will do whatever I want. Within reason, because Kate is a wrathful god, and I'm afraid of her.
I'm really feisty this evening, it's not great. But yeah, and it's just, we get the whole Wookiee episode from Eli's point of view, obviously, but we didn't really get, maybe yet, I don't know if we're gonna get it ever, but we never got a reaction from Thrawn's point of view, and we see, you know.
About the slaves?
Right.
Well, we kind of did.
Sort of.
Well, we got.
Yeah, because Eli's like, "What's the deal?"
Action.
Right. We got Thrawn's being like, sometimes, like, it was like in it was
in very the, diplomatic.
Right. It was in the scene, but it was also in the framing thing, where it's just basically like, you know, like orders or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think we're probably gonna talk about more next episode and during the wrap up episode. But I thought it was really interesting how he, like, very clearly knew that this was not a case of indentured servitude.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, but they're assets, so
yeah.
I'm going to treat them like assets.
Exactly. And I just...
Ugh.
I know. And I just really want that Thrawn, his actual, what he thinks about it, because, of course, Thrawn's the only non-human in the entire Imperial Navy.
Yeah.
I don't know about the only, but certainly one of the few, and he's easily the highest up.
Sure.
Yeah, def.
Sure.
Yeah, he got his Star Destroyer. That's crazy. Very good for him.
That's some shit that happened to him. Gold Star, Thrawn! We're proud of you! But yeah, so, I don't know, it's just interesting the level of, like, just naivete we get there, compared to, like, I think, I haven't... I just love doing all these comparisons among all these characters, because English nerd in me is just, like, coming out.
Of this podcast. I know, how come I keep having to tell you that this is a book podcast? Continue, please.
Okay. But it's just interesting to me that, like, we got this far in the book for them to realize that, like, the system is fucked, and whereas you have somebody like Price, and, like, first thing almost that we have about her is Moff Gotti kind of, like, trying to fuck her. Sorry.
Not Try actually fuck her.
Fuck up her career and her
fuck
life.
Her over.
Thank you.
Yes, fuck her over.
Thank you.
You know, in that incident where with the where she was like trying to transport discs and he like threw spice at her to like blackmail her. And she just
a lot of spice talk, by the way.
I know, it's not great.
Like, for not knowing that spice was drugs, like, very recently, now I'm like, spice is drugs! Like, I'm gonna write a punk song about it or scream, whatever. I don't know, I'm in a weird place tonight. Anyway, sorry to interrupt your point, I'm just like, hashtag spice talk.
Blah, 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 blah.
I've got you right off track.
You have the difference between...
Yeah, okay, life. So, yeah, it's just interesting that Eli's just like, I don't feel comfortable with this, you know, this isn't great, and whereas Price is just like, oh, I see how the game is played, let's start getting my hands dirty, and she does.
I mean, and honestly, she started before that. She got to Coruscant because she got fucked over on Lothal by Governor Izzati and Senator Rinking.
That is very true.
So, like, she knows from
early
going, like, as soon as her mother gets arrested in the first time we meet Price, like, 24 hours later, she has her plan of how she's going to get to Coruscant, and she's going to do it by basically, like, manipulating Senator Rinking into giving her a job.
Is she a sociopath is a question that we might want to save for next episode, because
that's fine.
A lot of thoughts.
I didn't want to, like, be problematic by asking that, and I don't want to be an armchair person
right. That
diagnoses people with right. Things like okay that, but...
I said we can diagnose Trump, so...
Okay. No, but, like, really, I think that she's a character pretty unlike any other that we've seen, because she doesn't have just, like, blatant disregard for everything and just does whatever the fuck she wants. She, like... is very calculated in all of her actions, and she doesn't
Absolutely.
Really care how they affect other people, so.
I know, I mean.
I figured that we would get into that during wrap-up, so.
Yeah.
Just throwing that question out there.
No, that's good. I mean, she's kind of this interesting counterpoint to Thrawn, because they're kind of written in a similar way, but, you know,
She cries, though, doesn't she? Sorry.
Does she cry?
There was like wasn't there a scene where she was crying? It's fine. I'll look it up and we can talk about it.
I'm not saying she didn't. I just don't remember.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like Price is crying. It was like she had tears in her eyes and was
she
like surprised
feel...
about it.
Oh, I think it's when she realizes that Joy here
is betrayed. Yeah. She definitely
rebels?
Has.
Is that what it is?
What?
Are they rebels? Is that what it is?
Yes.
If you scroll down on the outline, I literally listed out what the conspiracy is.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I don't believe
because,
in
no,
scrolling.
Because I read it. I
don't even have to scroll. It's on my screen right now. I'm just not reading it.
My God.
I'm great.
I know.
Basically, the conspiracy is that Driller, who's still the stupidest name, but Driller is... working with Night Swan, and they're rebels, and the way that they fight the Empire is by, like, sending these information brochures about higher skies that are actually loaded with a program that Night Swan designed to steal info.
Right. Yeah, I got parts of that. Okay. Thank you for spoon-feeding me information, because
You're so welcome.
I don't have critical thinking right now.
In terms of that plot, I've got some questions to ask y'all about what you think of the writing, but that's definitely a next episode or a wrap-up question, so I'll put that aside for now.
Yeah, I think we need to finish it before we can make that assessment.
Yeah, that's why I'm not asking.
No, I'm wondering if, like, Night Swan is a character we know or a character we don't know.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie, I was just like, is Ahsoka Fulcrum right now? Is that how I was like, I had to ask myself. Anyway.
Night Swan's a human, though.
That's right. Yes. That's
so
true.
we know that Night Swan is male and a human.
How do we know he's male? Because they're referring to him as male?
Yeah, when they found him on...
Because he's Signy, right?
Yeah, he's Signy. So, and like, he is a human male who introduced himself as Signy, but then... We found out it's Night Swan.
10-4. Got it. Sorry.
Oh.
I miss a lot of stuff. This is why this podcast is really just explaining the books to me.
No.
Little does everyone know.
No.
But we do see a lot of, like, just to get back on track a little bit, we see a lot of Thrawn and Price reflected in each other. Like, we see why they work so well together later in Rebels, because, like, they're kind of the same. I mean, they both have this very, like, to reuse an analogy that I used last episode, like, they both have this very, like, Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock Holmes, just seeing what the goal is and fitting in the puzzle pieces when everybody else is still, like, opening the puzzle box.
Right, right. I mean, she's the one who even thinks to bring him in.
I love puzzles. Sorry.
Christ.
Why do you guys let me do this podcast with you?
I don't know, since you were fucking, like, 2 hours late to recording time today.
Listen, it wasn't 2 hours. Don't be dramatic.
An hour and a half.
No, it was literally 2 hours, but...
Okay, whatever.
Anyway. I was 2 days late, it's fine.
Anyway,
Some people need their depression naps to function, okay?
Oh my god! But yeah, she's the one who brings him in. Like, she's basically the one who introduces him on Rebels. She brings him in on the Lothal's Rebel cell, right?
Yeah, so they very clearly have a personal relationship.
Yeah.
Ooh, spicy.
Not like drug spicy. I don't know. Like Mediterranean spicy. Although there are so many Rebels tie-ins. Also, since we've been doing this every week, we'll do a real shout-out to @RealBabyBird, who's finally watching The Clone Wars and talking to us about it. And we are so pleased.
We are. We are.
If you're not watching Clone Wars, you should do it.
I know.
If you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, unless you watched it, like, 10 years ago when it came out.
Or if you watched it when we mentioned, well, she's on the Onderon arc, and if you watched it when we fucking mentioned it to you and reading Rebel Rising, like, you should have, like, good people who do their homework.
Hey, she's reading along with us, so.
I know, right. But.
I thought we were going to shit on Real Baby Bird again.
No, I don't want to shit on her. She's the best.
You don't want to shit on her, and yet.
I'm not shitting on her. I was just telling her that
I shit on
anymore. Oh, my god. I'm not even mean, okay?
I specifically remember getting a text from her that was like, do you have a contract with the bus company? Because you keep running me over with it.
I know, that was very funny.
I cried at work, it was fine. It's totally normal for me to cry in the office.
That's true.
Well, where the fuck even are we in our conversation?
Oh, we were just talking about Rebels.
Oh, okay.
About how Thrawn and Price are boning. They're not actually boning.
They're not actually boning. That'd be...
I don't think I've seen that ship on Tumblr.
I'm sure it exists.
Oh, I'm sure it exists. It's just
every
like...
ship exists on Tumblr.
It does. Yeah. You know what's a fucked up ship? Thrawnera.
Oh my god. Yeah, I know. Kate heard about the Thrawn Hera ship and just wanted to...
Just wanted to leave downstairs. Yes, accurate. I wanted to die. Chris is like giving me this look and just shaking his damn head at me, and I just.
I mean,
it's our anniversary on Sunday.
I thought it was today. I was like, oh shit.
Our life. Oh no, it's on Sunday, and he's just like regretting all his life choices right now. Love you.
Your life choices. Kate's great.
I try.
So are you, Chris?
He's all right.
I love you both. I get to see them. Oh, just like a pre-plug, since we're just vamping about nothing right now. In October, we get to...
30 seconds.
In October, we get to record an all-in-person pod for the first time.
So
we're all getting hyped about that. Although, we don't know what we're... What will we be reading? I checked the outline...
I literally just said probably be reading Battlefront.
Okay, great.
Hey, maybe we can have Real Baby Bird actually on the fucking pod so she can scream at Kristen.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Great. Oh my god. Anyway.
Sorry.
Oh my god, Kristen, actually delete all this.
I'm not going to.
leave some of it in, but like not this like whole 20 minutes that we've been just having a conversation.
I'm gonna be judicious about what's funny and what's not and what is points. Okay. Don't worry. Aren't I always like that?
Judicious.
I think I am. I try to be a good editor.
Chris isn't saying words right now, so that's suspicious. Anyway.
I'm just sleepy.
You're shifty.
What's Hamlet doing?
He's pooping in a corner. It's good.
Well, he's a hamster. Yeah. That checks out.
Anyway, getting way back on track for the
little
Christ.
I don't know who Makathua is.
Oh, she's that, like,
she's the pointy-headed bitch on Rebels.
Oh my god, she was blonde, and she dies at some point because she realizes that, I forget what plot she was, I forget what plot she was caught up in, but basically.
Is that the woman who is, like, Price's little minion?
Yeah. Okay. So she shows up on Rebels. She has blonde hair, and she's the one who got caught up in some scheme, and she was trying to escape the Empire, and the Spectres were trying to get her out, and her speeder wound up blowing up, and she's super dead now.
Great. As you guys know, I'm very good with names, so I definitely knew exactly who that was.
but we do see more about how Price became governor of Lothal, and she basically did it by just completely selling Lothal out to the Empire.
Yup.
Yeah, I did. That was not surprising. But she finally got to... Well, I don't know. I was kind of, like, satisfied when she got her her revenge on the other Moff by going to Tarkin. Because that other Moff was a dick to her. Gotti was a dick to her.
Not I mean, he was kind of an asshole in general, so...
I know, but I'm like... If somebody did that to me, I would also, like, want to figure out what... I don't know. I would never do this because I'm me. But...
Hufflepuff.
I am super Hufflepuff. I'd be like, he didn't mean it. He just sneezed and he got spice all over me. but I don't know. I was like, yeah, you bring him down. He's a dickhead. I don't like him.
I was super happy when she finally got rid of Ranking because he was so... fucking annoying.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So happy for when sure. that happened.
Did you what did you okay, yeah. I wanted to sorry, this is again not the point of the podcast, but did you guys like I obviously like kinda saw that coming, like she was trying to bring Ranking down, but why do you think like was she just really counting on his greediness?
Oh yeah, I think that she heard like how Thrawn reads battlefields and reads art and sees the patterns, she reads people.
Absolutely. That's such a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's
like she knew exactly how he was going to react, and that's why she like planted a recording device on him, and that's like her being nervous in Tarkin's office and like always second guessing herself is her being like, I have met my match because this motherfucker is unreadable. How am I going to handle this?
Tarkin's
crazy. I love that scene. I love that scene.
That scene was really well done.
Oh my god, he fucking nailed Tarkin.
It's
awesome. So good.
It was good. Really, really good. How old is Tarkin in this book?
Pardon?
How old is Tarkin in this book? Because we see him in Clones. Do we see him in Clones?
Yes. He's definitely older than Clones. So he's...
Yeah, so, well, I mean, we see him in the Clone Wars, and he's already probably... He looked like he was in his 40s, honestly.
We're probably 10 years before A New Hope at this point.
Yeah, okay. So...
In the neighborhood.
Sure.
Okay. Sorry.
Maybe a little less.
Yeah, because I think she says he has, like, whitish graying hair or whatever, right?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, because he's already got the super cool receding hairline going on in the Clone Wars cartoon, but his hair's still brown, so.
Got it. Thank you for just letting me talk about that.
Yeah.
yeah, I know. Yeah. I had to text.
Probably
I had
about
to text.
Halfway between the end of the Clone Wars and A New Hope.
I had to text her. So we have a text group, and we have two different ones. It's like one of the three of us to talk about actual things about the podcast, and then we have another one with Miranda to talk about just all Star Wars shit. And I had to question that and was like, well, talk about Moffs, Chris. I don't understand what they are. But do we like get a precursor to that? Like, how did you find that information out? Chris,
about what moths are? Just continually reading. There's a lot about it in Tarkin. So my first actual introduction to the Star Wars books, because we're going to go on a long tangent, but we're doing it, so it's fine.
Great. Doing it live.
So I never read Expanded Universe books, like the old ones. Like, I have not read a single one. I haven't read the Thrawn trilogy. I haven't read Rogue Squadron, like all the famous ones. I have literally never read anything that featured Mara Jade. Like, I was actually the worst Star Wars fan, but I kind of always regretted that. But then whenever I looked into trying to get into it, there was just too much, and I didn't know where to start, and I got overwhelmed and ran away. And so when they started over again and made all these and uncanoned everything and then started new canon books, I was like, what a great opportunity for me to start getting into this. And so the first Star Wars book that I ever read is Tarkin, and Tarkin is kind of all about his rise from Moff, like one of the Moffs, and it's always very clear that he's very close to the Emperor, and so he's kind of first among equals among the Moffs, but rising from the Moffs to the Grand Moffs, and so there's a lot of internal high up imperial politics and hierarchy that's discussed in there, and kind of who outranks who and what the power struggles are.
Cool. I want you to talk more about that if you would during the wrap-up episode, because it sounds like there's a lot of parallels between that and this.
Yeah, definitely.
Sort
I
of.
mean, I feel like maybe we should talk about it if we read Tarkin
Well,
soon.
sure. I'm just
Because I feel like nobody,
saying.
I can definitely talk about it and the Imperial experience, I guess. But I feel like nobody's, it'll just be me holding court, which don't get me wrong, I am a cis white man. I love to do that. But
Don't make Kate
I don't
upset. It's your
know.
anniversary week.
I'm already upset.
Thank you.
Now, to be fair, we're gonna get a lot of that Imperial point of view stuff because we're reading Inferno Squad soon and we're reading Phasma soon, and I know Phasma First Order's
I'm
not.
hyped, dude.
I know. Everything's
Okay,
good.
good.
Yeah, it's a good time to be evil. This
Right?
doesn't bode well for The Last Jedi. This
Mmm.
really doesn't bode
I
well for The Last
know.
Jedi.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Luke. Anyway.
On that note.
Shall we wrap?
Yeah, let's.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it. So,
Chris, wrap us
in
up.
case.
We are not, me and Kate are not allowed to wrap us up. Please
Oh
wrap
my,
us
we're
up. We're
being
bad
passive right
at it.
I mean, as evidenced by the fact that I was launching into a sentence to wrap us up, and then you told me to wrap us up.
I know, okay? I just like to acknowledge things because we're across the country from each other, okay? I can't see your eyes.
She just loves you and she's
This is
so
true.
emotional. All right.
But yeah, no, we'll wrap this up in case you didn't get this from our constant references to next episode and the wrap-up episode. Next week, we're going to be finishing up Thrawn, reading chapter 23 all the way through to the end. And I'm excited because I want to see how everything ends and who the Hell Knight's One is. But he has to be someone we know, right?
I don't know, dude.
He's not, then it's just really stupid that we're waiting this long for a reveal. We'll see.
I don't know. Well, I'm excited. It's gonna be fun.
But anyway, chapter 23 to the end. After that, we'll have a wrap-up episode like we usually do with the books. And yeah, then we'll move on. So I think that takes us through it. Kate, Kristen, anything to add before we wrap?
Chris,
what
well,
are we
since
reading next? Sorry, Kate, to spoil
Oh,
it for you.
Oh, I can. Can I
You
tell
can.
them?
You
I'm
can.
so
Yeah,
excited,
we want to make sure people have enough time to get it, reserve it from their library. So we'll give a
guys.
couple weeks' notice.
Yes, good thinking. I'm very excited for the next thing we're reading because I am a dumpster fire, and all I want to ever talk about are Kanan Jarrus and Harrison Dula from Rebels. And so we're going to be reading about them next time. We'll be reading A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller, which is kind of the prequel to the Star Wars Rebels cartoon series. It talks about how Kanan and Hera met, and I'm going to be screaming the entire time, and it's going to be terrible. And we are reading it as kind of a lead-in into the fourth and final season of Rebels, whenever the fuck they decide to tell us what the fall air date is.
We still
Yeah.
don't have a
Well,
release date.
this is
Twist.
a lead-in,
No.
too. Reading
So.
Thrawn is a lead-in to Rebels, too. I mean,
That's
this.
true.
I mean, that wasn't the. I don't think that was the intention originally, but it wound up actually dovetailing perfectly, so
Yeah. I
whatever.
mean, we're celebrating the end of Rebels by learning more about the characters and helping our audience learn more about the characters so they can get into Rebels and know what's going on.
please someone join me on my trash barge. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I'm on your trash barge. I just...
You are.
Well, I think I'm driving it, and I'm just, like, quiet. I'm the tugboat driver of the trash barge, and you're just back there, like, lighting things on fire.
And you're like, can you wear a life vest while you
please
fucking light your fire?
Please put a life jacket on. Kate, please be careful.
I know, please keep your, like, arms inside the barge while you're destroying everything. And I'm just, like, crying and lighting stuff on fire. It's fine.
Anyway, just to be explicitly clear, that's not for 2 more weeks, but we wanted to give you guys chances to hit up your local bookstore to get that. I think, like, my local bookstore, aka one of the biggest local bookstores in the country, Powell's Books in Portland, Oregon, I think you can actually order stuff from their website. So if they don't have it at your local, that's, like, a place that you can order things from. Maybe I'll post a link or something so that you're not, like, ordering it from Amazon or whatever, but...
Indiebound.
I'm doing...
Also...
Oh, yeah, sorry. I should have asked
there,
for that.
No, it's good. It's there, the bookselling arm of, I forget what the actual name of the organization is. It just fell out of my head. But it's the National Association, basically, for independent bookstores across the country. So,
great.
Yeah,
I'm sure Pals is also a part of that.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, you guys need to come here just to go to Pals. Sorry. This has been Tangent Central with Kate and Kristen and Chris as an unwilling participant.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, thanks for listening to what at points was episode 12 of the book.
Since we're going to be doing a wrap episode soon, Kristen's just screaming in the background, that's fine. Please do tweet us any questions, comments, insights, cool things that you thought about Thrawn or any of the other books we've read, and we'll, if they aren't questions that are like, who is Snoke, then we'll actually answer them on the pod. You can do that on Twitter. We are at Book Wars Pod. You can also email us. It's bookwarspod@gmail.com. And we also have a Tumblr that we pretty much never use, but I do, in fact, check now. So if you want to dump something in our ask box, we are Book Wars Pod on Tumblr as well.
Yes, we are. You can follow us on all the trash places. And if you're looking... just if this is your first episode, I'm so sorry, but you can also find us at bookwarspod.com, and that redirects to all of our old archives. So, yeah,
it does. So please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Tell your friends about the show. We need more listeners. We are really trying to grow the podcast and show people why the Star Wars books are worth reading and they add so much to the universe. So help us do that.
And our pod also isn't a bunch of fucking bro flakes complaining about diversity in Star Wars, so, you know.
And we keep it less than 2.5 hours. I don't understand how those other podcasts are so long.
Yeah, that's absurd. Anyway, how long has this podcast been? 45 minutes? It's about 44 minutes too long. So for Kate and Kristen, I'm Chris. Thank you for listening to episode 12 of the Book Wars Pod, and we'll see you next week.
Have a great week, guys. Are you guys sitting far away from a mic, or are you sitting close?
I'm about 2 feet away.
Yeah.
Okay, sit close.
Chris, you're more than 2 feet away.
Sit closer? Okay.
Yeah.
How's this?
That's great.
How about me?
Kate, you're as good as it gets.
Wow, fuck you too.